is the UR Business Network.
Good morning and welcome to Making Headway on the URB Business Network. This is your host, John King, President of Headway Strategies Consulting, based here in the Boston area, bringing you today's show. Making Headway provides entrepreneurs, executives, and managers with information about emerging or current topics that could have a significant impact on their businesses. At the conclusion of the show, a blog will be posted which contains a summary of the show as well as the contact information for the host and subject matter experts in the event that there are follow-up questions from listeners. Today, we're going to discuss an approach to successfully developing organizational goals. When I was putting this concept together for the show, I wanted to bring in someone who had experience developing organizational goals for a larger organization. Since I have been working on the process for what entrepreneurs and small mid-sized business management needs, I thought the discussion on the different approach would be appropriate for our listeners. So I've asked Mark Conley, formerly from CSC, to share his experience in developing annual organizational goals for his group, which included over 900 consultants. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
And our producer today is Lauren Culp, who keeps us on track as we go through our show here. So let's just start off, Mark, if you could give us a little bit of your background and what you've been doing most recently.
Thanks, John. So I have over 28 years in information systems technology with over 25 years in systems integration and IT consulting specifically, most recently at CSC. Originally, I was a consultant myself. And more recently as the operations director supporting CSC's consulting organization, our consultants, our practices, and our clients.
Okay. And what was the process that you followed for annual goals development at CSC?
Each year, a set of corporate strategic goals are set and cascaded down from executive leadership in alignment with the goals for the corporation for that particular year. In addition, goals are also set and communicated at the business unit and practice levels. And finally, personal goals are set around training, skills development, billability, and growth, et cetera.
Okay. And let's just go back a minute. I mean, the goals you're talking about are down at the employee level, at the consultant level. So they're very specific to that individual, what you're looking for them to attain in the course of the year.
Yeah, ultimately what we capture is at the personal level. It's a bit of a – you'll hear me use the term cascade quite often because it starts at a corporate level. It starts literally at the CEO who puts together, based on the budgeting for the coming year, puts together the strategic goals and then cascades that down to the next tier of management and then through the business units, through the practices, and ultimately down to the individual. Now, those – goals may change and morph a bit as you get to an individual geared goal versus an organizational goal, but the idea is to have a concept that originated with the CEO and the executive team that trickles all the way down to each individual Joe and Mary consultant, if you will.
Right. So, I mean, the CEO is setting the direction in terms of what type of skills he or she needs to be able to support the goals that he has set for the organization.
That's exactly right. And ultimately, all the goals are captured in an annual expectations document at the beginning of each fiscal year for each individual in the organization, as you said, based on the directional goals from the leadership.
Right. So I think this is more of a directional thing for the employee. So the employee, and I guess in your case too, I mean, you're getting through 900 plus people. It takes a while of time to do that, a bit of time to do that.
It certainly does.
So how do you capture the input from individuals on your team? So you've got people that look at the CEO's goals or the objectives where he wants to go, and then they're given some things to do. But is there feedback from them saying, well, geez, I could do this differently. I could get the same thing accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. So in preparation for the annual expectations each year, all managers at all levels are expected to meet with members of their teams to discuss areas for growth or improve performance over the coming year. So it really is it's a checkpoint, if you will, an assessment on where we've come over the past year and where we're going forward, both at the corporate level but also at the individual level. These areas are validated, prioritized, and captured as part of our annual expectations process or the document or tool, along with other goals that are cascaded down from leadership.
Okay. And how do you go about assessing the current situation with your portfolio? If I can use that word to describe the consultants, how do you assess, do I have the right consultants' skill sets in order to meet the goals of the organization? And what do I do when I don't have those skill sets.
Yeah, absolutely. So in consulting, it's a bit of a real time process that happens ongoing throughout the course of the year. So I don't want to make it sound like it's a one time shot that we only do once a year. But specifically at annual expectations time, you know, for our consultants, we use project review feedback, which is received throughout the year. It's accumulated throughout the year as our consultants move from project to project for our clients. The reviews are captured, and they're capturing both the areas of strength and accomplishment throughout the year, as well as areas for growth or improvement. And then as the managers are meeting with their staff, they're understanding the skills, the experiences that we've got, what's the business that we have going forward, and do we have the right makeup of skills, whether it be volume of individuals with the right skills or the right types of skills. There may be a new technology or a new process that is evolving quickly in the marketplace, and we may only have a small number of folks, or in some cases no folks, so we have to adjust accordingly going forward and bring some more skill set in. So that's almost a side product, if you will, of the annual review expectations checkpoint, because we are assessing what do we have, where are our strengths, where are our weaknesses, and again, that what's the marketplace going forward, that vision is set oftentimes by our leadership team.
Right. And I think that so how often do you bring new people in, or how often do you retrain people that are currently employed?
We do both all year long, and again, it depends on the marketplace, what's going on, our ability to get and keep people busy, because obviously, as a consulting organization, we don't have warehouses full of product, right? We have our people. So what is really important is that our ability to keep our people busy, but also have ample number of people who are available for that next gig when it comes down the pike, and those people have to have the right skills. We are always looking to see if there's it'll depend a little bit on the skill set and how different or similar it is to skills that we already have in-house, as to whether we can retrain folks or do we need people that have these skills and have experienced and worked these skills in the marketplace, in which case, really throughout the course of the year, there's an ongoing demand management process that I would work on and oversee with our practices to understand what were the skill sets that they had resident in their practices, with the sufficient numbers of people available based on the work that was coming down the pike.
Okay.
So we had a view into the pipeline, the sales pipeline, if you will, that told us what was coming down the pipe, and a bit of a rough format, but it gave us an idea what was coming, and then we look at what we had available, either availability because we didn't have the people on staff, or lack of availability because we just hadn't grown that skill set. And then we would go out to the marketplace really during the full course of the year, again, not just at annual review time, and either hire, put out recruiting recs for new resources. One of our best mechanisms for recruiting folks was working our consultants and having them work their networks. We actually had paid a referral bonus for that, for different levels of people that were brought in. So there was a lot of incentive for us to have people that on staff that would be able to address the skill sets that are needed in the marketplace.
Okay. And I think that's what I was trying to get to, is that you've got to constantly monitor what's in your portfolio of people skills,
right,
to be able to satisfy. How about going back up the chain in terms of, that's an idea, we want to go do some particular service and we don't have anybody that does it. How do we deal with that? Does that get back and adjust the goal up at the corporate level, or is it go figure it out?
It depends a little bit on how different it is, again, from what we already have on staff, and how quickly can we staff up to do something. Obviously, we want to be successful and profitable in what we're pursuing, so we're not going to go chase something that's completely out of our realm of experience level. So typically, we're going to wrap folks that have an experience, and maybe the experience is more around the business and not the specific technology, and then we go out and hire some folks. Or the other thing that we've done in the past is teamed with a partner. A partner may bring a specific skill set on board, and particularly maybe what it is it's an opportunity that is more tactical that we're going to pursue as part of a bigger deal. Maybe our long-term intent is not to in-house have those skills or develop those skills, in which case we wouldn't want to hire somebody, but we may partner with somebody that brings the skills to the table, and then meld that with a team that understands our client's business, perhaps.
Okay. And what you're describing at your area is a little different than a small, medium-sized business would do, because they would probably not have the level of detail of the understanding the skill sets of all the individuals involved because of the amount of time it takes. But
sure,
you have to have that because of the nature of your business.
Right.
Some of the things, but I think it's very similar in process. I think the first thing in a smaller business really have to look at is what's the current situation? and you're going to have a management team that's going to be pretty close to that to understand what the current situation is in theory and be able to then look how that applies to the goals going forward. And I also think that in that case, management's a little bit closer to the day-to-day than maybe your CEO is of the organization that you were with. And I think that the other thing, too, is that with a smaller organization, you need to do some serious soul-searching when you're setting strategy, because a lot of times the strategy that you're setting is something you may be personally trying to execute yourself. So you got to kind of balance that back and forth. And I think the other key is that while you spent an incredible amount of time documenting in terms of the project reviews during the year, it's been my experience in the past that sometimes those project reviews, while we want to have them, don't get done as frequently as they should.
That's right.
And that's something that has to be monitored. But I think even in a smaller organization, you need to have some understanding as to where people are, how they're performing, and give that feedback, because that keeps them engaged and the like. I was doing a discussion on customer loyalty, and I think one of the things that came up out of that was really that you've got to encourage the person to own their job. So as a consultant, they have to own their job with that customer in order to make it successful.
Yeah, we use the concept you own your career. There's lots of people and lots of process and mechanisms to help you grow your career and navigate your career, but you have to own your career. You have to drive your career, and there are people here that will help you do it, but it's really up to you to drive your career.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it gives them the ownership to make them successful. When did the process start for you in the past, and how long did it take? Now, I know you have a fiscal year that ended in March.
That's right.
So when did you start doing the planning and stuff going forward?
Yeah, that's right. So the fiscal year is really what we were aligned to. So we typically started the annual expectations and goal setting process toward the end of each fiscal year, sometime in the February-March timeframe. For the start of the new fiscal year, the idea being to have these expectations kind of in place at or near the beginning of each new fiscal year. Many years, timing was also dependent on the annual budgeting process for the new year, as many of the metrics for the new fiscal year, especially those that were determined at the very top of the pyramid, if you will, from the CEO and the leadership team, that those were determined through the budgeting process. So we were a bit tied timing-wise with the budget process. As far as how long it takes, due to the sheer number of resources that we were required to get through in this process, and again, most recently, my team was 900 to 1,200, 900 in the U.S. and another 300 down in Brazil. But to get through the sheer number of people with management reviews, validation of the process, it typically took us a couple of months to complete the entire process for everybody and to capture that, validate it, and have a management level approval.
And you were able to do your regular job during the time you're trying to capture everything else. I know you've spent some long nights or long afternoons, whatever, trying to work with people to get that done.
Absolutely. And that's the necessary evil, if you will. I mean, it's such an important piece of running the business, you know, doing the annual expectation setting at the organizational level as well as the individual level. But the business doesn't stop for 2 months while we do this, right? So myself and my team and the consultants and the managers and everybody was doing this. And to some degree, I think people came to dread, maybe too strong of a word, but fear, you know, that the February-March timeframe, because it was very cumbersome. There was a lot of work to be done, as well as doing your day job of running and projects for our clients. So it was a challenge. It took a fair amount of hurting and encouraging, you know, from managers, from my operations team to get it done. But I think we took it very seriously because it was important for the organization and important for the people at hand.
Well, that's good. I think that, again, I think the process you went through gives everybody kind of have a fair shake as to where they are and what they need to do. I think that's very important from the employee standpoint. So what worked well in how you went through this process, and what maybe additional changes were some challenges, I guess is the right word, that you saw?
Sure. Well, the best part of the process to me, and I think for the people that have been involved, is always the communication that takes place. The communications that happens between the managers and the resources at all levels, whether it be the CEO and his direct leadership team and directionally where we're going, or, you know, the practice managers and our consultants. So that communication is what's key. We often used a process that we called skills assessments at CSC to collect the information information. It served a couple of purposes. It set us up for understanding, you know, individuals who are potentially eligible for a promotion or progression or consideration, but it really was a great way to collect information about people. And what it was is it was a real-time discussion mode with advocates for each person being discussed, all of whom dialed into a 20-minute conference call. So you maybe had six or eight people on a conference call. There was somebody who was an advocate, a career coach, if you will, for the individuals that were being discussed. And then you had representatives from the different projects that our consultants worked on throughout the year. So what it provided is real. It was a real live input from the field. The discussions were the single best performance management tool that we ever used, in my opinion, since we would get real impassioned feedback from what our resources were doing on client projects. The challenge, however, is with the scheduling and logistics for these calls, as you might guess, especially as the number of resources gets larger in an organization.
Well, certainly if you've got managers who are working on client engagements and all of a sudden they say, well, I can't talk to the client right now. I've got to go do some internal administrative stuff. That always goes over big because they wonder who's paying for it.
So our operations team had to be very careful and very flexible, provide a lot of different options so that people could do it, you know, before hours or after hours or during lunch or whatever. But when they happened, the level of conversation and the feedback that we got about our people was invaluable.
So that is fed back to the individual as part of an overall assessment, because each of the project ones are going to be focused on what they did in that project.
That's right. So this was bigger than projects. This was intended to kind of aggregate the projects for the year and discuss really a bigger picture, the skills and the learning and the growth for an individual aggregating the different projects. Because a consultant may be on one, two, three projects of the year, or they could be on the same project of the year.
Right.
And it's meant to aggregate all that information together and take a viewpoint of the individual.
Sounds like an awful lot of record keeping as you go with it, right?
It is a lot of record keeping, and that gets me actually to you asked what the biggest challenge is. I would say the single biggest challenge is getting everyone through the process and specifically capturing everything in an annual expectations, whether it be a document or an online tool. We've used a variety of different things over the years. It's essentially an administrative piece of work, but it's important because it's part of the process. It's part of the required process. All of this must happen in parallel, as we discussed earlier, with running our business, which doesn't come to a grinding halt, at least not intentionally, and always makes it challenging.
Yeah, I think but the key thing here is that what you're selling is not a product. You're selling a service, and the service is by the employees that you have who have particular skill sets.
That's right.
So having those skill sets, understanding if they're in line and alignment with the overall goals and direction of the organization is going to be critical.
Right.
Making those kinds of adjustments. So I think that's pretty important. Well, any other thoughts you'd like to convey to our listening audience?
No, I think we've covered it, John. I think that for me, the important thing is having the conversation up front, whether it be at the beginning of the fiscal year or the beginning of a project, et cetera, to set expectations up front and then document those expectations formally so that there's no surprises. Revisit the expectations several times throughout the year to understand where you are and what course corrections might be necessary mid-year. To get back on track as needed to be aligned with whether it be the client's goals or the organization's goals. And to sum it all up, I'd say communication.
I think that's really important so people understand who's on first, second, and third, however it plays out. Well, you know, one of the things that I found when I do these goal development workshops, people always ask me, what happens if I cannot reach my goal? And I was just surfing around on the internet the other day, and I found a great quote from Confucius. Confucius was a Chinese philosopher. I know you know who that is. Everybody knows that. 2,500 years ago he lived. But he says, when it's obvious that the goals cannot be reached, don't adjust the goals, adjust the action steps. So I think that's probably pretty key, that there's many ways that you can get to where you have to get to. It's just you've got to be willing to step back and take a look at what you need to do. The net simply is that people and organizations have always had challenges trying to achieve their goals, and the successful ones adapt circumstances to achieve the success they desire. So I think that's the thought I'd like to leave with folks. Mark, thanks very much for being a part of the show today and get your perspective on goal development for a large multinational corporation. How can we get a hold of you if anybody would like to talk to you further about this?
Thanks for having me, John. The best way to reach me would be my email address, which is mconnelly911@gmail.com.
And I've got to ask that. Is that a birthday?
It's not a birthday. It's actually a 911. I'm a Porsche guy, and 911's a Porsche, and I have an old 911, so that's
okay.
What
now we get this. I should have known that. Okay. Thank you very much. And Lauren, thank you very much for keeping us on track. And if you have questions for me, John King, you can reach me at jking@headway-strategies.com. And I have a Twitter account, jkinghsc. So I'd like to thank you for listening, and I'm open to hearing any suggestions people have on additional topics. Please let us know. We'll be happy to try to incorporate them into Making Headway. And this is John King on the URB Business Network, reminding you that continuing to listen to Making Headway, because we can help you make headway. Thank you.
This is the UR Business Network.